Welcome to another session of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be with you again. Last time we were together, we talked about, in Chapter 7, the accurate principles of covenant. In this session, I want to talk about the accurate mental attitude of covenant. There's a certain way you ought to think about covenant, and there's a certain train of thought you ought to have to be in covenant. And so, the author uses Ruth to break down these accurate mental attitudes of covenant, or simply put, how you ought to think while in covenant, how you ought to think to be in covenant. Without this way of thinking, it will be harder for you to be in covenant. If you would turn with me to the book of Ruth, the first chapter, and I'll read verses 14 through 18, and then we'll go back and begin to break these mental attitudes, accurate mental attitudes, down. For those of you who are new to the Word of God, new to the kingdom of God, Ruth, to give you a background before I read, Ruth was a young lady that was married into a family, mother-in-law named Naomi. Naomi's husband died, and Naomi's sons died, which was Ruth and Orpah husbands. Now, the sons, one married Orpah, one married Ruth. Now, here you have a situation where the Naomi, who's the mother-in-law, husband died, and Naomi's sons, who were the husbands of Orpah and Ruth, both died. When they all died, it was nothing but Ruth, but Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth left. Naomi decided to go back to her home country. And here's where you see covenant kicks in the 14th verse. The Bible said that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. That's in the 14th verse. When Naomi decided to go back to her homeland, go back to her original place, Orpah decided to stay in her homeland, which is Moab. But Ruth did something different. Ruth stuck with Naomi. So it takes us much deeper than just physical relationship. Ruth had a spiritual connection to Naomi that was based on what they believed. Of course, when you, tenets or one of the practices that the Jewish people had is that whenever a husband married, a Jewish husband married his wife, that she would convert to his religion, to his way of living. And that's what Orpah and Ruth had done. But when the husbands died, they were no longer obligated. But Ruth learned something that Orpah didn't learn about the covenant of God and about who God was. And so based on that, she saw the covenant of God in Naomi and what Naomi was doing, and she decided to stick with Naomi. So here in the 14th verse, that's just to give you a little background of where we got, how we get to the 14th verse of Ruth. If you want, you can take time to read verses 1 through 13 on your own, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. In verse 14, it said, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people," meaning Orpah has gone back to her people, "and unto her gods." That's key. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." In other words, Naomi said, "I got nothing else for you. You need to go on back to where your people and go back, you know, to serving your gods." But Ruth saw something. Verse 16, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And here's the key part. "And thy God, my God." Verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. the Lord do so to me and more also if I ought but death part thee and me. This is powerful. And when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi began to impart. And that's key. That's powerful. That's key. So let's begin to deal with this. Using this, these four short verses, we're going to begin to break down the mental attitudes of covenant. The first one is that we follow those we have covenant with. Other words, those that we are have, that God have connected us to, those that God has joined us to, we follow them. Now, here's the thing. I said this before in this class, and I'll say it again. The very first thing God will do to anybody he calls and wants to use is he will connect them to somebody who's already going in the direction that he wants them to go. You see it over and over in the Bible. You see Abraham, Lot. You see you see Samuel and David. You'll see over and over again, you'll see different examples of those that God is calling to use. The first thing he's going to do is connect them to somebody who's already going in the direction that he wants them to go. Other words, God's agenda is already moving. God's agenda is already unfolding. So he would simply connect you to somebody who's already unfolding the agenda so you can learn the agenda, be a part of it, and pick up and take up your part, your joint that you're supposed to supply. So God is a covenant-keeping God. He's the covenant maker and initiator. Watch this. God will not be chasing after you. You have to chase after him. You have to pursue those that you have covenant with. The law of covenant goes through everything, marriage, friendships. It's hard to be friends with somebody who don't want to be bothered with you. It's hard to be married to somebody who don't want to be bothered with you. You have to pursue them. They have to pursue you. In following those we have covenant with, we must be able to see what they see, hear what they hear, and behave like they behave. What I mean by that, all our personalities are different and we're different for a reason. But when you're in covenant with somebody, you have a common agenda. So if you can't see what that person is seeing, can't hear what that person is hearing, and can't govern your behavior to accomplish that, then you're going to have a problem being in covenant. It must be accurate communication, and connection must be accurate to those who we're in covenant with. We must, watch this, I like what the author says here. We will visibly and consciously connect and pursue those who are part of our lives. Listen to this. There is an active approach toward those who we are in covenant with. So if you have trouble following your leader, then it's going to be hard to be in covenant with them, because what you're going to be doing is finding fault with the person. Now, it's going to be easy to find fault with the person because the person will always have faults. But what you must follow is the agenda that God has connected you to. Ruth saw not just Naomi, but she saw that Naomi can help her get to where God wanted Ruth to be. That's why Ruth said, look, don't make me go back. Watch what she said. She said, your God is going to be my God. That's what connected Ruth to Naomi. Ruth learned something about Jehovah that wasn't in the gods in Moab. And so the only way she can learn more about this God and what he had for her was to be connected to somebody who knew more about that God than her, to train her so eventually the both of them can know the same thing. And because see, the end result, if you read the book of Ruth, Most people, old seasoned Christians, read Ruth and get the wrong thing out of Ruth. The only thing that most people get out of Ruth is the end result. Boaz. Boaz. Boaz, in the whole grand scheme of things, is unimportant. But when you put Boaz together with everything else that God is doing, the end results, you can see the end results of Ruth in the first chapter of Matthew's. When you read the first chapter of Matthew's, you will see that Ruth became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. She was grafted in and she became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So if Ruth had not stuck with Naomi to learn about who God is and what God wants to do with her from Naomi, because Naomi knew more about God than she did, then Ruth would have never been in line to be a part of the birthing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, Boaz was a part of it. Boaz was a part of it. Boaz wasn't the end result. Boaz was a part of what God was trying to do. So Ruth being connected to Naomi, being exposed to Boaz, all the while now Ruth is being blessed and being prosperous, but that's just a byproduct. See, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God, Ruth sought first the kingdom of God, how God wanted to do things. And the only way she was going to be able to find out how God wanted to do things was to be connected to somebody who knew God's agenda. The second mental attitude we must have in covenant is we must be inseparable from those who we have covenant with. No lie, no rumors, no situation or persuasion should stop us from being connected to who God has called us to be connected to. That's why in the marriage vows, you say for better or for worse. See, good thing Jesus was very long suffering because he had covenant with Peter. And he told Peter, as soon as I get taken, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter did. But thank God Jesus went looking for him. There should be no rumor. There are going to be tough times in covenant. There are going to be rough times in covenant. There are going to be times when everything looks shaky around you. But you must rely on God's voice in your life and who he's connected you to. In marriage, that's why in marriage say for better or for worse. And in sickness and in health. Coming out of the word of faith. We had taken that out of the marriage vows, trying to be super spiritual because we don't want to talk about sickness and disease. No. There are times when Satan will attack our bodies, whether we initiated it or not. When you're married, you're supposed to walk with that person through that. That's covenant. Not turning around when things get tough. Not walking away when things get rough. You become inseparable. You cannot drop your commitment at the first sign of weakness. Why? Because we studied earlier. Covenant is an elimination of weaknesses. There are some weaknesses that your leader has that you must cover. Notice what I said. Cover. Now, the greatest example, thank you, Holy Spirit. The greatest example I can give to you of how to cover the weakness of your leader, because we all have them, we human, is what Noah, two sons, not the first one, the Noah, two sons did. Noah was drunk, had got drunk off of his success. But his sons walked in backwards to cover him up while he was laying naked and drunk. They walked in back, meaning they didn't even look at the weakness. They didn't even look at the dysfunction. They simply, watch this, they simply walked in backwards and covered up their father. That's what covenant does. Covenant allows you to cover another person's weakness, just as your weaknesses are covered. You must not allow anyone else to change what God has told you to do. If God connected you, then let it be God that disconnects you. That's powerful. If God connects you, let it be God to disconnect you. Don't let it be another person. Don't let it be anybody else. If God connected you, Let God disconnect you. Look at Matthew's the 19th chapter. Matthew's the 19th chapter. Matthew's the 19th chapter and the 6th verse. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, wow, let no man put asunder. We use that a lot for marriage, but it also need to be used for your covenant with your leader, your covenant with whom God has put you in connection with, your covenant with who God has connected you to. You can't let nobody else separate what God has put you together with. Once again, if God puts you together, then let God disconnect you. If God puts you together, let God disconnect you. There are only two reasons. I like this, what the author says. There are only two reasons to disconnect in covenant, to break a covenant. One is death. What Naomi said. Naomi said, where you die, that's where I'm going to die. What Ruth said. Ruth said, what told Naomi, where you die, that's where I'm going to die. There's only two ways out of covenant. Death, that's where we get to death do us part in the marriage covenant. Death is the only way. Or there's a second reason. The other reason that we can walk away from covenant is when the God who has joined us together in the past is now revealing why we must break free. What I said earlier, if God joins you together, let God disconnect you. Sometimes that disconnection can come because of erroneous doctrine, because of some satanic manifestation, because of some kind of contamination. So back up. So when we're talking about covering your leader's weakness, I'm not talking about covering sin. I'm not talking about that, because sin is separated. I'm not talking about sin, behavioral sins where they just acting a fool. They're a hoe. They're sleeping around. They messing with this and messing with this person. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about weaknesses in which sometimes they might wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes it might be like Noah. They might get caught up in a situation because of not being surrounded, not being able to be held accountable. You can cover those areas. But somebody who repeatedly just ain't planning on changing, ain't planning on doing what's right, ain't trying to live right, I ain't talking about covering that. That's nonsense. You need to run from them as far and as quick as possible. So again, there's only two reasons to be separated out of covenant, to break covenant. One is by death, and the other is when God says, hey, you no longer in this covenant. I'm breaking it. Which leads me to this, and I love to kill this sacred cow. You know, in the kingdom of God, in the church, we got religious statements that we try to make ourselves seem spiritual. And one of the spiritual statements that we make to make ourselves seem spiritual when we want to make a decision that we want to make is, soon as we get disgruntled with where God has placed us, we all of a sudden say, my season is done here. My season is done here. And then we break out, there's a season for everything. When you go back and read, and I think it's in Ecclesiastes, the season for everything, a season to laugh, a season to be sad. You got to see that from Solomon's point of view. He was not talking about covenant. That wasn't making reference to covenant. As a matter of fact, I never forget Dr. Kenneth Skelton. He's going home to be with the Lord. But him and I was talking one time, and he said, Leroy Jr., you know, he said, I've had members that come, he was a pastor, he had members that come to me and said their season was up at my ministry. And of course, when they tell me God has told him that season was up. He said, I can't argue with that. He said, well, I knew every last one of them were not correct. Because number one, God didn't tell me anything. Because why would God break covenant with me? He hasn't broke covenant with me. He said, the second reason I know is because in Psalms, the first chapter, matter of fact, turn there, Psalms, the first chapter. I want you to see this. I don't want you to hear this out of my mouth. I want you to see this. Go to Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, the first chapter. Watch what it says. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, the first verse, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 is what I want to get to. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Pastor Skelton said to me, he said, I've never seen a tree go towards a season. I've always seen seasons come towards a tree. Come on now. Catch that. When he said that to me, I'd start chuckling because I had never seen it that way. He says, I've never seen a tree go towards a season, pick up its roots and go to another season. But the seasons always come to the tree. So he said, when members tell me, oh, my time, my season's up here, what they're really doing is, they're really saying is, I'm dissatisfied with you. I'm dissatisfied with what's going on around here. I'm going to uproot myself and go replant myself where I want to be replanted. Not where God has me planted, where I want to be planted. And what's going to happen is they're going to miss every season that's supposed to come to their lives. And their leaves are going to wither. Because a tree that doesn't go through the proper season can never produce fruit. Come on now. A tree that doesn't receive all the seasons can never produce fruit. So here you say, people say, well, my season is done here. I've heard of people say that. And once they say, I can't stop it, but it's violating biblical principles. Where God has planted you, that's where you will flourish. Wherever you plant it, will there be tough times? Yes, that's why you have roots. Roots go into the ground to create and establish a grip on the foundation that you're standing on. So if God has connected you to somebody, uncovenant, then it's up to you to develop the, God, thank you, Jesus. It's up to you to develop the roots. It's up to you to take in the right nutrients, to take in the right feed, to take in the right amount of sunlight, to take in the right amount of revelation, to take in the right amount of time spent with God, to develop the roots and say, God, why do you have me here? Show me what you're showing my leader. Show me what you're showing everybody else so I can develop the roots and the fortitude to stay solid and be where I'm at and not easily be moved. I become immovable. Jesus talked about this. I become the house whose foundation is built on solid ground, not sand. So again, there's only two reasons to break covenant. One is by death. You let out of covenant. The other one is when God takes you out of covenant.